More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. From Rebel Without a Cause to The Breakfast Club to 10 Things I Hate About You, coming-of-age movies have been around almost as long as the film industry has.
Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig's debut as a director, is the latest offering in the genre. The film tells the semi-autobiographical story of Christine Lady Bird McPherson, played by Saoirse Ronan, in her final year of high school in Sacramento, California. Set in the early 2000s, Lady Bird shows how America was changing post-9/11 and how Lady Bird's perspective on her hometown, her family, and her life was changing along with it.
Film critic Dave Lurson joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio to discuss Lady Bird and says the film was a great step forward for the writer and director.
This movie works very well as a compelling, genuine statement, I think, of herself, but I think it has universal meaning. I found myself relating to a number of things in the life of the protagonist, the self-proclaimed Lady Bird, as the high school senior protagonist of the film, a girl in a Sacramento high school, a person with creative aspirations who feels that Sacramento is a dead end, the Midwest of California,
yes.
She memorably calls it at one point. And she dreams of going to New York and doesn't quite know how to do all these things. I mean, I related to her character a lot. She reminded me in certain ways of myself during middle school and high school, where you're trying to invent an identity for yourself in some way. You want to be somewhere else. You're trying to figure out how to get there. There isn't really a roadmap, you know, laid out for you. You have to kind of figure it out on the fly. There's also, you know, money problems. It's not as if you can just, you know, pay your way, or your parents can pay your way to go to Yale or Harvard or some expensive university on the East Coast. Are you going to be stuck with, you know, in her case, Sacramento Technical College or whatever the equivalent would be out there? So she's faced with a great many things, including finding herself, you know, in terms of her emotions, in terms of her sexual exploration. So a lot of things are going on, I mean, for a teenager of that year. I think the movie encapsulates that time of life very well.
Definitely. And Saoirse Ronan, who audiences know from her Oscar-nominated role in Brooklyn, I am very happy with her performance because too often older people play high schoolers and it just doesn't feel authentic. But
she's,
I mean,
23.
She's 23, so she's closer in age than the typical actor playing a high school student. But her delivery and her pacing just adds a certain spark and fire to this character. While it's also, you know, it's a lot of juxtapositions with her. You know, she wants to be independent and individual, yet she conforms in certain ways, or wants to rush into becoming a woman in various aspects, whether that's academically, personally, sexually, and yet still has a childish-like outlook on a lot of things.
Well, very realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, at no point while watching her did I think this actress is too old for the role she's playing. I had to kind of, you know, check back afterward to see how old she was. Oh, 23. And I remember her from a variety of movies, Grand Hotel Budapest. She's in that one, too. She's actually had a 10-year career in film already. She must have begun at age 13. And maybe she remembers very clearly what it was like to be a teenager. It's not that far away from her.
While the characters are familiar and it's, you know, a story about Lady Bird and her family and the life of a teenager as they're on the precipice of senior year into college, it's not portrayed as a cliche or dull story or characters with all this. You know, there's a new, fresh take on it, which I thought is a great accomplishment for something that's explored so much.
Well, it's a Catholic high school, and even the nuns are not cliche high school teacher nuns that you see over and over again in comedies. All of the characters had a kind of ring of authenticity to them, like whether they were comical people or a little bit, where they were, you know, tragic or some mixture of this. Everyone to me seemed like a real person. The mother character in this movie is kind of interesting because the opening scenes where they're having an argument, the daughter and the mother, in a car on the way back from some, you know, campus tour, naturally some dreary college not too far away from where they live, which is where her mother wants her to go because there isn't any money, and unless you get some great scholarship from somewhere, and you're kind of a mediocre student academically in some ways anyway, so don't dream on about that. they're having this argument, and one would peg the mother then as being a typical sort of grouchy, you know, guilt trip laying on kind of a person who you're not going to like. But as the movie goes on, you find a much broader person. Really, in many ways, a very generous person, evidently. And if there's a structural weakness in the film, it's at least, I don't think it was explained very well. She adopted two biologically unrelated teenagers from difficult home environments. And so, you know, it's an unconventional family in that kind of sense. She's working very hard. The mother is two shifts at the hospital. She has a lot of burdens, and one can really understand the pressures that she is under just as well as one can understand the protagonist, Lady Bird, in this film.
Right, and this movie really touches upon the notes of, okay, we've all rebelled and think we've known what's best for us, but in the end we realize how great our parents are in some cases. And the relationship between the mother and daughter in this movie, probably a lot of people can identify with. You know, there's a lot of aspects someone can personally connect to.
Right. And the father character also, I mean, it's a two-parent, if unconventional, family in some ways. The father is afflicted by the very common problem of fearing job loss, and indeed he is laid off after a while. His company is going through downsizing. The economic precariousness of the lower middle class is something I don't think is being discussed enough, certainly not in Hollywood movies. And one of my, you know, annoyed reactions to a lot of indie films, they all take place in Manhattan on the tree-lined side streets, and everybody seems to have a trust fund. You know, there are fine, if that's your reality as a filmmaker, we'll go for it then. But, I mean, there's a lot of other kinds of people in America and in the world who should be represented on film. I think that this movie does a great job of showing how not the 1% or the 10%, but maybe how, you know, 50 or 60% of the people in this country actually live.
Yeah, I thought this movie did a great job of kind of giving a little nudge and reminder of all the things that happened. It's set in 2002, 2003 school year, but as you mentioned, it deals with the lower middle class, the fear of being laid off during a recession. It deals with depression, such as the father's character, and her mother works at a psychiatric hospital. So it doesn't shy away from things like that, or coming out, or how friendships change, or exploratory things in your life. It deals with it with a realistic honesty that doesn't, it doesn't shy away from it, but it doesn't stigmatize or shame any aspect of it.
It doesn't stigmatize or shame, and the drama in the movie at times is played with a light enough touch. You don't leave the film feeling depressed, you know, for anybody, really. I mean, it's a very deft touch where you can move people and make an audience aware of the difficulties that realistic characters are having and still leave the theater feeling bright in some way. And I think that Greta Gerwig, the writer-director, accomplished that. I'm looking forward to what she does in the future based on this.
And some of the details I really loved because it was set in this time frame, everything from the music choices to the little shell necklaces that some of the characters had. Like, it just took me back there instantly. Like, that attention to detail.
Yeah, and fewer handheld devices, I think, was the thing that I noticed.
Yeah.
People were forced more, I think, to talk to each other. You didn't have the phenomenon of people sitting side by side texting each other or whatever. You had to communicate. I wonder if in the future, you know, if society continues to go down this direction, what kind of films we will have based upon people texting each other as a primary means of communication. You know, lettering fill the screen, every frame. I think that would be kind of a boring way of making movies. So I was very happy that we had, you know, a good ensemble cast. Really, that again, all of the actors in this film seem to really bring their characters alive with a deep kind of understanding for who they were.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the more accomplished female-led coming-of-age tales compared to the multitude of John Hughes movies in the golden age of coming-out teenage stories. But although it can be classified as a teenage comedy, I'd say it's you know, more of a dramedy, or, you know, what do you call just a great, honest depiction of something? You know, I think
realism.
It's realism.
Well, realism, because, you know, real life for you know, if in most cases for most people involves humor, right? We hope anyway, involves tragedy, involves disappointment. It involves obstacles that sometimes we overcome and sometimes we don't overcome. So I think that this is realism. I really hate the word dramedy. I mean, it's make-believe kind of words. It's like rom-con for yeah. Romantic comedy. Mediocre movie critics coined these things, and I'd rather not use them. But a mixture of drama and comedy, a slice of real life. I mean, I think that's what you have in Lady Bird.
It's gotten 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which was
pretty
probably
good.
One of the few.
Yeah.
Has great reviews from us and other film critics. And what words of advice would you have for anyone who's on the fence of seeing this? Because although it is an indie film, I think it could easily hold its own if it was out of the Oriental and in a Marcus cinema.
Well, I hope it expands beyond the Landmarks theater chain and equivalent chains around the country. I think it's a movie that really should deserve some Oscar consideration when the time comes. It's not that far away right now, maybe especially in light with the disruption going on in Hollywood. I mean, much needed, I suppose, too, with many of the old dogs of the industry being driven out because of their legacy of misconduct going back decades. I'm wondering how this is going to affect the Motion Picture Academy and the various committees that are involved in the nomination process, that maybe this will open some eyes to more movies made by women about the particular situations of women. So this could be not only on the strength of it being a very good movie, but in the context of everything else going on right now, this could be an opening for Lady Bird.
I look forward to seeing what happens. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express, author of its I Hate Hollywood blog, and a regular Lake Effect contributor. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski about the new film, Lady Bird. I'm lost, but I'm